News Radio KMAN. Good morning. I'm Dave Lewis. It's 7:03, as we do on Thursdays typically. We visit with some of the folks from the COVID-19 task force here working locally to mitigate all the different challenges that there may be in the area. And we visit today again with Bob Koppel, the president and CEO of Ascension Via Christi Hospital. Bob, good morning. Thanks again for joining us.
Morning, Dave.
Well, let's catch up with some numbers. And yesterday we had, the news report that we had this morning, we had a number of 21 that were in the hospital receiving treatment for COVID-19. How's that number today?
So as of this morning, it's actually back up to 24. Yeah, the 21 was probably about 5, 6 o'clock yesterday afternoon, and then we had 3 admissions over the evening and night.
Okay. When people come to the hospital, what are the circumstances that are leading up to their decision to come seek treatment there?
Specific to COVID?
Yes.
You know, I think for a lot of people that are starting to either have a fever that they've not been able to control, a number of folks just having difficulty breathing or concerned about that. And then if they've got some sort of other health condition, you know, to begin with, I think that just, you know, that probably raises their awareness or raises their concerns. And so because you do see a lot of patients with COVID who have some sort of other medical condition. And that's, I mean, we've been talking about that since the very beginning, those who are vulnerable. And so I think, you know, it's people are definitely not feeling well. But the fevers, the difficulty breathing, I think are probably two key things that we're seeing with people.
How many people are in the intensive care unit this morning at Ascension Via Christi?
So we actually have 7 patients in the ICU, 5 of them are COVID positive. And so
Okay. That's
also a ratio that is a little concerning.
All right. Well, let's talk a bit about, you know, the vaccination process. You know, the obviously, you know, healthcare workers or the frontline workers are first on that list to have gotten the vaccine. Have all Ascension Via Christi staff members been inoculated to date?
So everybody who was interested in being vaccinated, and we can talk about that a little bit, both here in Wamego and our active medical staff, everybody has their first dose, and that's a little over 550 people. And then we have close to 300 have also now had their second dose. And so after this coming Monday, we will actually go well over 400 that have had their second dose.
Have you been monitoring any side effects from your folks that have been that have gotten the first dose or even maybe the second?
You know, I think it's been very consistent with what the EUA or emergency use authorization paperwork that came out with the vaccine has said. Probably, I mean, by far the most common thing is people, their arms are sore at the site of getting the vaccine. With the second dose, and again, this is pretty much expected. This is definitely in all the data from the manufacturers. Seeing just more of that, actually a higher percentage of people that their arm would be sore. And then also seeing some folks who run a low-grade fever or just kind of, you know, have the body aches, just don't feel well. What's really kind of interesting, though, too, is it is like a fairly short duration. And I've talked with a number of people just this week that have had their second dose. They maybe had some of these milder side effects. And it's pretty consistent. Everybody says, I just took a nap. And they woke up and they felt a lot better. And so I think, you know, it's one of those things that's just, we probably just all have to kind of be mindful of that. Maybe make a little time for, get some extra rest. I think hydration is also really key. Make sure, you know, when it's time for you to go get your vaccine, make sure you've had a meal, you've eaten that day, make sure you've been drinking water, and just get some rest, and you probably won't have any sort of significant experience.
With the number of individuals that you have at Ascension Via Christi Hospital that you're currently treating for COVID-19, what about folks that have some other health concerns? And are you seeing folks come into the emergency room on a consistent basis from pre-COVID times?
So there's kind of probably two pieces of that. One, we have seen a drop again, just like we did in the spring, of people seeking care in the emergency room. And I would just, you know, really urge people, if you have a medical emergency, you really need to get that attended to. And so don't be so worried about COVID that you don't get your other healthcare issue taken care of. Because I think we talked about this a couple of months ago. We had some very bad outcomes in our community because people just didn't seek care. So yeah, our emergency room volume, for example, is over 20% down from what it was last year. So again, that's just telling us people are obviously not seeking care. So that's one piece of it. And then, you know, kind of on the other part of our world, people just still are having their normal health care issues too. And so we certainly have, we're doing surgeries on people every day. We've got people up on our units that we're taking care of that may have cancer or, you know, respiratory problems, et cetera, all of these non-COVID things. And so life kind of does just go on. And, you know, we want to certainly be able to care for those people too. And I want to encourage people, again, you know, seek health care if you need it.
One of the things when I had COVID back right around Thanksgiving, and I was really, really struggling that first night, I just could not breathe. One of the concerns I had, and I likely probably should have and thought about going to the hospital, but I was concerned about, you know, the availability of beds in the hospital. Is that something that should deter anybody from needing to get that care?
You know, I think, again, the first thing is if you need the care, get it. We will figure out. that's on us. We will figure out how to, if you need to be admitted. And again, there's actually a small percentage of people who have COVID that actually need to be admitted to the hospital. I mean, in the big picture, we certainly talk about that, and it's a focus for us today. We have 24 individuals who are hospitalized with COVID, but that's actually a small percentage of the total. It's more important to seek the care, make sure you're getting care, talking to your physician, and then if you do need to be admitted, you know, that's we will figure that out. And to this point, we've not had major issues with getting people placed. It's what we're seeing right now, actually, across the state. It's just kind of our normal kind of winter patient load, and then the COVID patients stacked on top of that. And so that has caused, you know, I'd say actually for the last couple of weeks, not been a real issue to transfer patients, but it's something that we kind of really keep an eye on every day. And the larger tertiary facilities in the state, like everybody else, they're running high occupancy rates, but that's also typical for this time of year. You know, again, I think everybody's just trying to kind of manage through that. We certainly try to coordinate and work together a lot. You know, for here in our region, probably once a week, I reach out to all the rural hospitals around us just to kind of get a read on what's going on, what their volumes are, what their capacities are, because that way if we need to move patients or we need to find a place for somebody, we have a general idea of what's, you know, fairly available for them.
We're speaking with Bob Koppel, President and CEO of Ascension Via Christi Hospital, on a regular weekly basis. And Bob, one of the things that I wanted to visit with you about yesterday, I got a text to sign up for COVID-19 vaccine, and there's a website that goes through Riley County to do that. I know that there have been a lot of age parameters there, you know, like, you know, those that are over 65, and
right.
And I aren't there.
No,
closing in, but you and I aren't there. How do you have any kind of perspective on when those vaccinations, those inoculations, will be able to be administered toward those that are wanting them, that are in the general community?
Well, you know, I think, first of all, like the high-risk patient population, I really believe that in the next 30 days we'll be vaccinating patients. And it's just because nationally, it starts at a national level with just the production, and the production continues to ramp up, and so that's going to push out greater and greater volumes to each state. So, you know, I think the general population, we're probably looking late spring, some early summer maybe, or it may even be early spring. It all depends, too, and one of the reasons for asking people if they're interested, we need a read on what percentage of the population want to be vaccinated. So, for example, in Riley County, you've got around 70,000 people. So then you have to back out everybody who's under the age of 16 because they can't get the vaccines at this point. It's not approved for that. And then you've got that population left. We already know that we have vaccinated a bunch of the healthcare workers. We have vaccinated every single person who lives in one of our long-term care facilities in the county. And you just have to kind of say, so what is the remaining population? And of that population, who's willing? Because that allows the health department to do their planning. So, you know, I think it's kind of good to get that out there, and also just to get people in that mindset of, I need to get the vaccine. Because there's, you know, on social media and some other things, some folks that would maybe make people concerned or raise doubts about that. And we are, of course, as healthcare providers, we're strongly advocating that people do that. But we do, we, just for planning purposes, you got to have an idea of how many people are going to be in line and in kind of what sequence they're going to come.
I think there are a lot of people that are just not really feeling like they're getting accurate feedback, accurate response from government officials, regardless of level, as to when those vaccines will be available to Joe Q, public.
It has tended to be very short, short sequence communication. And by that, I mean the state, my understanding is the state usually gets notified of what their allocation is going to be for the week or the time period about 48 hours before that happens. So then they've got to kind of redo their allocation for that week based on the volume coming in. So then you get to a Riley County level, they might only get 48 or even 36 or 24 hours notice of this is what's coming to them. And then they've got to react. So, I mean, I think part of it is just, you know, kind of the, I don't mean to be political, but kind of the lack of a real national strategy is what's part of the encumbrance. And the workarounds are getting in place, and I think that's getting better. I'll have to say we've been surprised at how much vaccine we received in December. It was a lot more than what we were expecting. Well, we just adjusted to that, and we made our first pass through the entire team and all the medical staff in about 2.5 weeks. We had thought it was going to take longer than that, so we're very happy. But that again, it was a little unexpected. And so you just have to kind of roll with that a little bit. My guess is we're going to see the same thing occur with some of the public vaccination. I really honestly believe we're going to see more vaccine faster than what maybe people are anticipating. And that is going to kind of move the schedule forward. I'm hoping I'm right.
Yeah, yeah. That would be good news. Bob, we're out of time here, but we certainly thank you and of course all the healthcare workers for the work that they do. There's so many local heroes. We salute you all, and we all want to wish you the very best, and hopefully, you know, this vaccine, the inoculations work, and we can start seeing some potential closure in 2021 to COVID-19.
Well, thank you very much.
That's the end goal, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, Bob, thank you much. We do also want to remind our listeners that the Well Health saliva-based tests are still available, and those are being conducted at just north there of Pottawatomie Hall in Seco Park. You can get yourself lined up. It's free, and you get your results in typically about 48 hours. So if you have not yet been tested for the coronavirus, that is something that you should take into consideration.